Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
That's Kevin Stefanski in the postgame yesterday. Did you like that? He's certainly more emotional than he was after wins back in the day.
Well, they knew they needed that one. They knew they were also going up against a desperate team. They knew what this town was like over the last week. And how about that punt? I mean, that punt was absolutely humongous in winning that game because of what it led to. You know, Jacksonville no longer needs just, you know, one possession either way. But had it not have been a safety, I mean, we are looking at a completely different football game. So that was vitally important. Special teams, huge bounce back, right? Huge bounce back from week one. The only glitch in the system was, did they know the rule about the kicker going over the 50-yard line? Because how could they have, considering he sprinted right down, Hopkins sprinted right after he kicked the football?
There's no way.
Did he know the rule?
Unless he had a brain fart and forgot.
Maybe he
had to have had a brain fart and forgot.
The routine, but it was so funny the way we talked about how, well, Ventrone is here, and we've got Vrabel, and they're going to maximize, you know, their special teams. And then the way that he sprinted after he kicked it made me think he didn't know the rule at all.
I wish I could tell you.
Last week, they put them all out of the back of the end zone, right, or in the end zone. Mm-hmm. This week, they started off. The first kick was great. It was in the landing zone.
Yes.
And actually stopped him short of the 20. It was a great one.
Perfect.
And then they had what should have been a huge turnover.
Yep.
Maybe they haven't worked on it.
I think they've worked on it, haven't they?
Specifically, like making sure that the kicker doesn't take off. Maybe he was just so hyped up to get down there and know that they were putting it in a landing zone. He forgot that.
They had to have known. Maybe he just had a brain fart and just decided to take off. Of course, then again, it was noted by Nathan that he almost did it again and had to stop himself. So who the hell knows? I wish I could tell you. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Jay Glazer spoke yesterday on Fox in the pregame and got a lot of people talking yesterday right before kickoff against the Jaguars.
The original contract that was fully guaranteed for Deshaun Watson actually had protections in there. Even if he got suspended in the 22 or 23 seasons, he still would not lose any of his guarantees. Well, very quietly this offseason in August, they restructured his deal. When they restructured it, they did not put the same protections in for the next several years. So if he has a suspension moving forward, there could be a chance they can go back and get some of those guarantees. All right. Don't know why they got it taken out, but they took it out.
So that was Jay Glazer before the game. And a lot of people went, well, that's interesting. And took those out. Jay Glazer then at 1:15 yesterday put out on social media, quote, "I think I screwed up on how I explained Watson's contract this morning, AM. There was a clause to protect him in 2022-23, even in case of suspension. I said they took out those protections when they restructured deal in August, but that was off as they didn't have that clause in the original deal for 2024-2020 through 2026. My, all caps, and then you wrote bad. My bad.
Well, the whole thing made no sense. When the report came out and it started circulating, I got texts about it.
So there was nothing taken out that was already there. It was already not there.
Well, it made no sense. It made no sense because then the guaranteed contract and other things I've seen written about, oh, they can start to take away some of the guarantees. Well, then none of the contracts matter in the NFL then at that point. Because if the guarantee contract's not guaranteed and all sorts of provisions could serve to negate some of those guarantees, then this whole thing was a waste to talk about to begin with. So it didn't surprise me that he came back and essentially retracted it later in the day.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd. So there was no protections anyway for it. So basically what we know is what we know, and that's still what we know. So that's all there is to it. So I don't know if he said anything on television after that. I wasn't watching Fox. I was watching CBS. So I'm not sure about any of it.
He doesn't generally come back on.
Yeah, I think he leaves. He goes to the gym.
Yeah. He's got to get a workout.
So that was it. So the only thing he could do was do. I didn't know if he was like came back at halftime during the Fox game or whatever. You know, what do they do? They have the OT. I think they have their wrap-up show at the end of the broadcast before Football Night in America over on NBC. So I didn't see him come on. That's the only thing I could read was that, and I think you guys are right. I think his job's basically done after the pregame show.
What'd you think overall, just for as rough of a week as it was for Watson with the headlines and forced every football pundit and podcast and anybody that does this, you know, we're not talking just in Cleveland now, everywhere around the NFL, Browns fans had to be reminded about this, and NFL fans had to be reminded about how much of a mess this has been up to this point. You know, I wondered how that was going to impact Deshaun. And then he came out, and I thought the drive, the opening drive, and I thought it was, I called it a masterclass by Stefanski on social media, but
masterclass, I love it.
I thought it did get him more comfortable and confident because the Deshaun Watson we saw in the first week was not that. We wondered, was he going to be able to drown out all that stuff that was out there? I mean, imagine what a tough week that was for Watson. That's talk about his father passing away, his buddy. He had a buddy that also passed away that he was dealing with. And so to have to hear this stuff all week and then to bounce back with that opening drive. I mean, imagine if that opening drive is a three and out.
That's why
how different that game could have gone.
And that's why I wrap all this up into an acceptable performance. I thought it was an acceptable day. It's not something that's going to be memorable. We're not going to talk about it like we did the three games, parts of games that were last year and the times that he was able to play. I think that this was an acceptable performance considering everything. Considering the contract, no. But I don't know what is. Considering the contract or considering the history or whatever it is, I can just go by what I've seen or haven't been able to see recently. But what I saw from the entire week leading up from the Dallas game, the Dallas game that was basically terrible from the word go for him, and then to this game, I found was an acceptable performance. With the exception of the third down, I wish he wouldn't have done that on third down. But other than that, it was an acceptable day for me. Peter in Perrysburg, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Peter.
Hi, it's Pete Dane and the Slippery Wizard, my favorite jazz fusion duo.
Thank you very much, Peter. Go right on ahead.
I agree with you, Pete Dane, that acceptable Watson performance. He was, 22 of 33 or 34 with that last half. There were at least seven or eight drops that come to my head that were stone-cold drops. Hit them in the hands and they just drop them. And I know, you know, Anthony mentioned that would make the stat line look better, but I also think it would have changed the game enormously considering how bad they played in the third quarter. Can we talk about what happened at halftime where they came out, they got the ball four times, and they could only move it one time?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
They went three and out twice. They had a five-play drive after.
Also, well, the other team's allowed to make adjustments, too.
Well, yes, but also you're allowed to, you know, plan for those adjustments if you're kicking the crap out of them. Like, what they came out like lifeless. They were the offense and defense were crushing the Jaguars, and it was only 10-3, but we were crushing them at halftime. What happened? But Watson played really well.
Well, in that first half, they left at least what 10 points on the board. I think
That's what I'm saying. Like we. That game should have been over at halftime. It felt like it was over at halftime. And then that entire third and fourth quarter, like, I was just pulling my hair out. I'm sure, I mean, Anthony, you shouldn't be pulling your hair out with all the Vanscoy hair, you know, care.
It'll grow back. That's what's so great about Vanscoy.
That's fantastic.
Peter, thank you very much for the call.
The drops. I've seen a lot of people say that. The only problem is I've been seeing people say that about Browns quarterbacks for the entire time we've been on the station as well.
Why can't you mention drops?
But you can mention them, but you're not watching all the other games and mentioning them for every other quarterback, and so the stat lines would all be adjusted. So if you're only looking at Deshaun Watson and his drops, or the Browns quarterback and his drops, but you're not paying attention to all the other games, well, the stats they would normalize
Funny
across
you say
the
that,
board.
Because when you do, we've had the argument about drops so often, is when I see another game and I see a quarterback or I see a wide receiver drop one or a tight end drop one or someone like that, I go, that has to be noted for whoever. If we were in that town, I would notice that.
Yes.
Like if we were in Cincinnati
yes.
and somebody had a drop down there, then you would have to circle that play.
But yeah, like Joe Burrow yesterday had, I think, like three. One was kind of in the sun. I think it was Gesicki. He had dropped one. I'm like, that could have changed the game right there.
But I think that
we don't do that as Browns fans. We're only paying attention to our game. And so we think that only our quarterback is being victimized by that. And so his stats would be so much better. It's like, well, everybody's would be around the league.
Well, they'd be better. I don't know if they'd be so much better. It's the same thing as like interceptions at the end of a first half. And you're just heaving one into the end zone. It's like, well, that... I mean, it goes down as a pick, but is it really a pick? It's kind of a cheap. It's kind of a cheap one there. But the drop by Amari
Cooper,
those
shouldn't count. By the way,
it was such a. I remember you did say that the perfect pass. It was a perfect pass to Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
He bobbled it. Then he had the other bobble later on. I think we've got three drops in two games here for Amari.
Yeah, it's very uncharacteristic.
We're gonna have to ask Daryl about that coming up at 8 o'clock, man. Eric in Fairview Park, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about, I think one of the underrated plays that Watson made was on third down. It was a mesh play where the receivers were crossing in the middle of the field. He actually didn't get the first down, but he put it into fourth and one, and then we put Jameis Winston out there to get the QB sneak. I think that was a clutch play because it set up the fourth and one, which kept the clock running, which led to the victory. That was clutch late
when
in the game.
This was late in the game, you said? All right, I'm going to have to go back and look at it because my notes, I took as many notes as I could. There was a good 10 to 15 minute chunk I just missed in the middle of it, but that's it's not my fault. I want to blame my internet provider on that, Eric. I'll take a look back at it. I thought, again, there were plays that he made. The one on the run to Jerry Jeudy, I thought was a little bit of luck. The one on the run to David Bell, I thought was very, very nice. There was a couple other ones
I thought was very nice.
The play to Amari Cooper would have been great if he had held on to the damn ball. It would have been amazing.
Did you think the Jeudy one was getting picked off on the first drive?
I was very nervous about
that. I did.
Yeah.
And when he released that ball, I go, oh, no. Oh, no. And then when you saw it from the other, when you saw it from the end zone cam, it looked like it should have been picked off.
But that pass being completed was probably the best thing for him. It's like, all right, they're loosens him up a little bit. Let's keep him smart, but also, all right, I can do this. This is fine because, boy, if that thing would have been picked off, who the hell knows how he would have reacted for the rest of the day. Jonas and Lima, you're next up on the fan. Hello.
Hey, what's good, guys?
Hi, Jonas.
Hey, I think Deshaun's performance was acceptable. I like the way he spread the ball out. He looked a little bit more composed this week than last week. I mean, he got David Bell engaged, Elijah Moore. And to your point, Lima, a lot of that's because of Stefanski's scripting. But there were no turnovers. You know, there could have been opportunities for turnovers, but we had two bad picks last week. He had no bad picks this week, a little bit better percentage. And I also put it into context with even with the old Deshaun back in Houston, it usually took him like 2, 3, 4 games to get into the Watson that we all know. But with everything that went down last week, how bad they looked with Dallas and going down to Jacksonville in that environment, in that heat, with all that pressure and him still coming up with the dub outside of the last, 2 minutes of the game, which almost made me have an aneurysm. I think it's acceptable, and if we can build off of this, there's good things that we can look into. It's not MVP status yet, but I still think he's going to finish top 8 quarterback in the league when it's all said and done. Maybe even top, top 8. I'll stay there.
All right, that's still pretty lofty, Jonas, but I will accept the comment and the call. By the way, that there was a cross over to Amari Cooper that made it 4th and inches later on that they were able to get with Jameis Winston, where he snuck for a yard. And they kept that drive going. And then they committed, the 3 straight penalties, which set my soul on fire and certainly got everybody else in a dander. Chuck and Chardon. That's a weird way to spell it there. Mitch, you got to go quick. Chuck, you're next up on the fan.
Good morning. Hey.
Hey, Ken, Chuck. Hey.
I think he took a cold shower this morning. This team persevered yesterday. We lose that game normally. Our kicker got a penalty. We had 13 other penalties. Our most reliable receiver had 7 drops. Watson played better than
he had 7 drops.
Average. What?
Amari Cooper had 7 drops?
No, three, at least three.
But he said seven.
But my point is, if he catches that one ball, he goes in for a touchdown. If the kicker doesn't get called for that penalty, we got the ball in their territory. I think that's the reason it was a close game. But again, the whole team persevered. We've made a play on special teams. The defense hung in there. I mean, I'm not saying Super Bowl, but I was encouraged. We lose that game. 3 years ago, that ball's completed in the end zone to beat us at the end of the game. Well, I'm encouraged.
If you lose the game, I don't know what we're saying today. By the way, that was a first down. Amari Cooper should have just turned up the field on that play, as I remember it now, because I think that was the one where he kept going sideways.
Mm-hmm.
He kept going east-west instead of north-south because he was trying to gain more yards and looking for an opening and ended up getting tackled and fell short of the first
down. I thought
the spot
was bad. I thought it was a bad spot because
you keep running, then you're open game, so it's where you land. It's where you finish.
What, forward progress isn't a thing there?
He went backwards.
If he goes backwards, though,
and they engaged him. They didn't make contact until he was behind
the line. I don't know. I was thinking that was challenge worthy at that point.
All right. Coming up next, Fix My Life. Maybe we'll ask Darryl about it. He could go ahead and judge it later on.